I carried that middle. I carried that middle port for about 8 years.
You couldn't put your seatbelt on because it stuck way out on your ski. It was a big old thing.
Shabbat shalom, everybody.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Is the camera on me? I want the camera on me because I'm so good looking. That's at least what my wife tells me. I mean, she says that, you know. I pay her $5 a week to say it, but, you know, she says you're so good looking. Hi, everybody. I'm Rabbi Joe, and my wife says I'm really good looking. So we want to welcome you today to the Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation for Zion Sake Ministries, and here in Bristol, Virginia, in Tennessee, where you're going to end up living because the price of living and cities are going to hell in a handbasket. So you're going to end up coming here anyway, so you might as well just come now. Come on down.
Amen.
We've got a house with your name on it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Do I sound like a car salesman? Shalom, y'all. No, I'm just joking around. But you may end up coming here. It's true. A lot of people are leaving California. That's going to be my thought for the day. Gerrymandering. The word is gerrymandering. That's redistricting. And it's causing, I'll explain it later when I do my word for the day. But I want to welcome you to our service this morning. And we're just thrilled you're with us. And we're going to pray. We've got Mr. Terry Scott here on my right, and we got Mr. Anthony Cody on my left, and we got Miss Carol Green back there in the booth, and we've got a lot of beautiful people here and with us today. Amen. Let's give it up for the Lord, beautiful people.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And we got people coming in, and so not at the moment, but you know, pray amen, Carolyn, pray amen. Thank you, Lord. That's your assignment this morning. Pray those people in. Hallelujah. All right, so we're going to get started, and let's just pray for the service. Heavenly Father, we lift up this service. Yes. Lord, we ask that you just bless us and forgive our transgressions, Lord. Take our burdens and our load from the weak. And take our sickness and our disease. You bore our transgressions. You bore our sickness. Give us strength today. Strengthen us. Give us rest. And renew our strength on this Shabbat, Lord. Renew our strength and give us rest. Bless us this weekend, Lord. Heal my son Isaac from walking pneumonia. And be with Miss Dawn as she flies today, Lord. Give her wisdom. Give her supernatural success and ability as she flies her airplane all over from Washington, Memphis, wherever she's going today. Just be with her in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Put your angel's charge around her. Yes. And just anoint this service, Lord. Anoint Anthony as he speaks. Anoint me as I give my message. And anoint me and Terry as we lead worship. And anoint Carol as she does the sound and the video.
Yes.
Bless the sound and the video today, Lord. And we pray in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach.
Thank
you. So we're going to start with Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Turn his guitar up, please.
Yom Zeh Yisrael. Yom Zeh Yisrael. Yom Zeh Yisrael, Lord Shishimcha. Yom Zeh Yisrael, Lord Shishimcha. Ora Mincha, Shabbat Mincha. Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ora Mincha, Shabbat Mincha, Shabbat Mincha.
More guitar.
This day for Israel, this day for Israel, filled with light and joy. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy, filled with light and joy. Sabbath of his rest, this day for Israel, filled with light and joy.
More guitar, please, more guitar. Do you like that last line I fit in there? I kind of made it myself. I wrote it myself. All right. Matovu. Oh, Anthony, the blessing of the Messiah, yes.
Brukatai Danai Elohein, Yumelech HaOlam, Asher Notin Land Direk, HaYeshua Mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in the Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Where you dwell and the place where your glory resides, I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. Amen. Now we're going to turn do the Vishamru on page 45.
Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la-sod et ha-shabbat le-do tamburito lam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la-sod et ha-shabbat le-do tamburito lam. B'nei, O B'nei, B'nei Yisrael, B'nei Yisrael, O Dini Lolam. B'Shemru, B'nei Yisrael, Et HaShabbat, Lasod Et HaShabbat, Ledo Tamburito Lam. Kishet Amim, Asa Adonai, Asa Adonai, Shemayim V'et Haaretz B'Shemru, V'nei Yisrael, Le'et HaShabbat, Lasod et HaShabbat, Le'do Tamburit Olam. Kisheshet yamim asa Adonai, asa Adonai, Shemayim v'yaretz v'shemru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledo tamburit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
You turn my head mic on for a sec. Do we have another guitar chord anywhere? Is it yours or mine?
I think it's yours.
Do we have another one?
I don't think so.
Can somebody look back there for I think this one may be shot. Okay, we're going to do Pray for Jerusalem. Sorry, folks. It's not your fault. No, don't. Whoa. You got a shot cord. Okay, I got one right here, Carol. Right here. Yeah. Okay, if you'll turn the bass amp off and plug this in. If you'll just plug this into the bass amp. However you do it. If you're gonna turn the amp off. No, it's not. It wasn't off. This amp. It's going to be a good service, folks.
That's right. Rabbi, usually when the enemy wants to come in and try to disrupt, that means it's going to be really good.
Yep. Okay, let's go back to the old chord. Let's just go back to the old chord. Yeah, this isn't working. Tell you in a sec, honey. You got it plugged in right? It's right. It's below your foot. It's right below your foot, right in front. Okay. All right. Pray for Jerusalem. Guess the devil didn't want us to pray. Pray. Pray for you. Pray. For, yep.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there be peace again. love her. Send for the sake of the house of the Lord our God. We say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, there'll be peace, not war. For God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of the city of our God, we pray for Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. We pray for you, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you, Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you, Shalom Aleichem.
Hallelujah. Anthony, would you lead us in prayer for peace of Jerusalem and for the Messianic community in America and salvation of chosen people.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that we gather here today to honor you, Lord, and to worship you and praise you, Heavenly Father. We ask this morning that you will bless the most important city in the whole world, Lord. It's not Rome or Paris, but it's Jerusalem, Lord. It's your holy city. And Israel is your holy land, and the Jewish people are your chosen people today, Lord. And we just pray that you will bless them and that the coverings of their eyes will fall off today, Lord, and they will see your son, Yeshua, as the Messiah that came 2,000 years ago, and he's coming again, Lord. And we just pray today for our Messianic communities around the world, Lord, that you'll bless the rabbis, the pastors, the dance, the worship music. Bless the messages that they will deliver today, Lord. We ask that you will bless America, Lord, that we will see. You know, we can tell when it's going to rain because the clouds form, but may we discern your times, Lord, that they're rapidly approaching. May we look to you as the answer for the end times today, Lord. So bless America, Lord, that we will return to you in prayer and fasting, Lord, to restore this nation to the nation that it was in years ago, Lord. We just ask that you will bless our service today, anoint Rabbi Joe today as he brings the message, Lord, that you put on his heart today, Lord. Bless us today, Lord. In the name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I just want to add to that, Lord, we just pray for Aliyah. We thank you, Lord, for the new government in Israel. Lord, we pray your blessings on it. Your word says to pray for our leaders. So we pray for the Gantz government in Israel. We pray, Lord, that he would be favorable to Aliyah and help the Messianic Jews and Christians make Aliyah, that the doors would open and the walls would fall down, and those who love Israel, who they're keeping out, they're not they don't let everybody in. So we just pray, Lord, that they would start to let Messianic Jews and Christians who love Israel to come in, and Messianic non-Jews, Lord, that they would let them in as citizens, Lord, because they love Israel and they support Israel. We pray this in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Yeshua our Messiah. Lord, part the seas for us. We believe you're going to do it, and you're going to do it soon, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, we also pray that our flight would not be on a Sabbath or in the winter. For you say that if it were, that times would be so difficult, almost no one would survive. So we ask that when our flight comes, that it would not be in the winter or on a Sabbath day. And Yeshua's name I ask, Lord. Amen. Now the Lord says.
And now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be a servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Okay. We're going to do the Shema next. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto, Le'olam Va'ed. Yahavta et Adonai Elohecha, B'chol Levavcha, U'b'chol Nafshecha, U'b'chol Me'odecha, V'hayu Hadivarim Ha'ele, Asher Enochi Mitzvcha Hayom Al Levavecha, B'shinatam Levanecha, B'dibarta Baham, B'shivtecha B'veitecha, U'v'lechtecha V'derech, U'v'shach B'cha, U'v'kumecha, Ukashartam, Al Mizazot Beitecha, Uvisharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. Speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. Let them be frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Amen. Hallelujah. Wait. Okay, yeah, let me come up. I don't have the I'll just play it. William, would you come and prepare to carry the Torah?
Adonai Melech, Adonai Melech, Adonai Imlok Le'olam Vahed, Adonai Oz Le'mo Yilitain, Adonai Varech Et Amo Vashalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord,
and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns. The Lord has reigned. The Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Amen.
Yeah.
Lord. Okay. Vayehi ben so Aharon vayomer Moshe Kuma Adonai viyafutsu oivecha viyanusu misanecha mipanecha ki mitzion tetze Torah ki mitzion tetze Torah udvar Adonai miyerushalayim Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Liamo Yisrael Bidushato. When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. Amen. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah. Baruch hu et Adonai hamvorah. Baruch Adonai haruach yolam vahed. Baruch Adonai haruach yolam vahed. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim.
Natan lanu et torto. Baruch atah Adonai. No tain ma Torah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Bless his Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Turn Anthony's mic down a little bit, please.
Okay, you can be seated.
I don't know if it's up here or out there.
Okay, you all can be seated. Okay, today's Torah portion is the second parsha in Genesis, or Bereshit. It's Genesis chapter 6 and runs through chapter 11, verse 32. And it's called Noach, which is more commonly referred to as Noah. And we just had a teaching on that. Rabbi did a teaching on Noah here a week before last. And this month we actually have a new month. The month of Marchesivan has began since the last time we were here. It's called the month, it's called a bitter month because there's no feast or there's no fast in the month of Marchesivan. But it's the month, and I guess maybe it's called the bitter month because it's the month that the rain started to rain upon the people during Noah's time upon the earth. You know, I was just thinking today, have you ever been disappointed at something in life? You know, if you look at this particular parasha today, we'll see that the world has come 10 generations past since Adam and Eve were on the earth. They've come 10 generations. And the earth at this time is sort of like the earth at this time that we're here today. There was a lot of violence. There was a lot of corruption. There was great wickedness upon the earth. And so we find that God only found one man and his family that he considered righteous, and that was Noah. And he said Noah was a righteous man, and the whole world that was so consumed with themselves did not see the importance of having God in their life. And so God becomes very displeased with mankind. I think one of the biggest things that he became displeased with was the fact that they had began to worship idols. And that's one of the Ten Commandments that he is the Lord our God, there is no other God. But they tried to place other gods in front of him. You know, if you look at Noah's name in Hebrew, it means to be a comforter. And he was a comforter to his people. John chapter 14, verse 16, Yeshua said, he tells his disciples, he says, tarry, and he will send a comforter to you. It was a shadow, I think, of Yeshua, Noah was. And we can understand that he was a shadow because God uses shadows and mysteries for us to go further into his word. It's something just to be the only person on the whole face of the earth that God considered was a righteous person. That was Noah. You see, mankind at this particular time in history, they were marrying animals. They were engaged in same-sex marriages. And there was great sexual immorality. And as I mentioned, there was a lot of delving into the into idol worship. You see, if you look at the scripture today, you know, Yeshua said it very good. He said they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage when the flood came upon Noah and his family entered into the ark, and mankind was unaware. You see, when God called Noah to build the ark, Noah was not a builder of, I'm going to use the term, a ship, but that's not what he built. He didn't build a ship. I don't think I ever have seen any type of a drawing or any type of a little thing that they make, these little Noah's Ark thing. It's always made in the form of a ship. But that's not what the Ark was. The Ark was not a ship. It wasn't a boat. And it took Noah 120 years to build it. He was 500 years old when he started to build the Ark. And you can just imagine, he wasn't near any water when he was building it. So for 120 years, people would come by, and I'm sure they made fun and laughed and had a good time. This guy's building this thing to float, and he's like hundreds of miles from water. But Noah kept telling them it was a time. God gave the world 120 years to find him. So Noah was God's spokesperson. And so when they would come by, he would tell them about the impending destruction of the earth. But they did not listen. You see, the whole world died. And God instructed Noah to take animals into the ark. He took animals that were unclean. And he also took seven pairs of animals that were clean. Most people, when you ask them how many animals did Noah take, they'll tell you he just took two. But they say, well, I say, well, you got to read the next verse down there to get, there was a little bit more to the story than just the two animals. He took seven pairs of kosher, clean animals, and those were for food and sacrifice. Now, people scratch their head when you say food and sacrifice. They don't get the connection. They're not getting the Hebrew connection to God's word. But see, it rained. But can you imagine what the people felt when those first drops of rain hit their head? And they were laughing and having a good time, and the rain didn't stop. It continued and continued. For 40 days it rained. And I was reading it this week, and it said the tallest mountain was, the water was 22 and a half feet over the tallest mountain. So you can just imagine, if you look at the mountains around here, how much water that was if it was 22 and a half feet over, I'm going to say, the Himalayan mountains. I don't know what the tallest mountains in the world are, but the scripture says 22 and a half feet over the tallest mountain. So the world was completely flooded. Everything died except what was in the ark. And what was the ark? The ark was built just like the ark up here. It was made like a shoebox. It wasn't a ship. It wasn't a boat. But it was the ark is what rescued Noah and his wife, his three sons, and his three daughter-in-laws, and the animals that would repopulate the world. That was what was safe in the ark. And we see that there was eight of them, and eight is new beginnings or resurrection. It was a new world. When the floods receded and the ark finally came to a rest and they went out, it was a new world. Can you imagine walking out and there wasn't nothing anywhere? Everything was gone. And I think we can find out that's probably where the Grand Canyon came from. There was something cataclysmic happened that caused that great... I've never been there, but I've certainly seen pictures. But can you imagine nothing? There wasn't no birds. There wasn't anything left on the face of the earth. They had been washed completely clean. I don't think there were any bodies laying around. I think God washed them all into the abyss, wherever that would be. But I guess the real purpose of this is it gives us a shadow of the end times. God is telling us, you know, they questioned Yeshua. They said, well, what is the sign of all this? And he says, well, you've been given a sign. And now, of course, he was referencing Jonah. But he also said, you know, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be when the second coming of man shall occur. But isn't it amazing that we can discern the like I said, the climate when it's going to rain, and we prepare for things financially, but we don't prepare for the things of God. We don't discern the things of God. And I can say that because, you know, I see a lot of people during the day, and I interact with them, and they're totally oblivious to the things of God. They don't understand that the end of time is really, we're in the season for the end of time. It can happen at any time. I know there's things that have to take place, but how quickly we can see the world at the snap of the finger can just churn and change so quickly that it can happen. And like it says, in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, the Son of God can appear. But our world today is just like it was in the days of Noah. They were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. They were marrying each other, same-sex relationships and marriages. It's the same thing then. It's the same thing now. Sin hasn't changed. Sin is sin. There's no little sin. There's no big sin. There's just that God views it as sin. He doesn't like sin, but he loves the sinner. That's why he sent his son. So we can see today, just to close that, but you know, the rainbow is a beautiful thing, and it doesn't mention in the scriptures that the rainbow was ever present before the flood. But we see after the flood, God made a covenant with not only Noah, but he made a covenant with all the animals in the world that he would not destroy the world by water ever again. It will never happen. And that is the purpose of the rainbow. But to get the rainbow, you have to have the sun behind you, and the rainbow has to be in front of you. It doesn't appear. You can't be behind the sun and see the rainbow. The sun's got to be behind you. And God's telling us, you see, the sun, it takes the light to shine upon the water to make the reflection of the rainbow. And I think God is telling us today, that's what we should be. We should reflect the light of his sun, and that will show the world and bring life and will bring beauty to the world. I had something unusual happen to me. It's been several weeks ago. I was going down a hill, and before me was a rainbow. And it was very unusual because the rainbow was down right across from where I was at. And it was interesting because it wasn't like the arch. It was the end of the rainbow, like you could reach out and get the pot of gold. And so I had my Siddur with me, so I got out and I prayed the prayer of the rainbow. And I turned around and went up the street. And what was amazing, the end of the rainbow followed me for about 3 miles up the road. And I'm talking about the end of the rainbow, not the arch itself that goes for quite a distance. But it was the end of the rainbow following me for about 3 or 4 miles, and finally it dissipated. But that's the way God shows us. Let us today be like the rainbow, and not what the world is calling it, but it's a rainbow of the covenant of God, because he is a covenant-keeping God. That's what the rainbow is a sign of. When you see the rainbow, it tells us that God is a God that keeps his covenants. He will keep his covenants that he made with Abraham, and he's going to keep his covenants that he's made with the world, never to destroy it by water again. But God is calling us to reflect the light of his son into the world today, into a world of darkness. Shabbat shalom. I didn't see one. I looked for the pot of gold, but I didn't see it. If I found, I would have brought it up here. Torah Asher Samosha Lifnei B'nai Israel Al-Pi'al Danai B'yamosha. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel, the command of the Lord through Moses' hand.
Amen.
Tzayim hi mazikim ba etokher erusha derakeya chenoam kol tivotecha shalom. Hadeshamenu, Hadeshamenu Kekedem.
Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return, renew our days as of old.
Announcements? Am I on? I mean, am I up? All right. Praise the Lord. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Shabbat Shalom, folks watching online. I'm Rabbi Joe. Sorry we've had some technical difficulties, but we actually have fixed our live stream. Is it working now? We actually, Carol spent hours this week with Gary working very hard to get our live stream fixed. So we just want to welcome those who are watching, and I promise my friend Tony from Hilperton, UK, I'd say hello. So greetings, Tony from Hilperton, UK, my prayer buddy, my intercessor friend, who prays for me and always tells me, Rabbi Joe, when I see you, I pray for you, I see the word healed. Healed, hallelujah. That's what he says, and he's a great encourager to me. So I just want to recognize my friend Tony. I won't give his last name online, but in Hilperton, UK, hallelujah. And so I want to say a couple things here. We have Deborah Klein, Ian Torno coming the weekend of November, is it 16th? Anybody have a calendar? Let me look here and see. I believe Deborah Klein and Vince Ian Torno are coming up here on... Yes, Saturday the 16th of November. So they're coming to lead us in worship and ministry and concert. And Deborah's just quips and her testimonies are fabulous, and she's a real trip. So I'm excited that they're coming. If you can make it, you'll really enjoy Deborah and Vince Ian Torno. Their music is wonderful. And I said, God gave me a revelation I wanted to share with you, and it's the thought for the day. I'm going to try to do a thought for the day every week. And the thought for the day is called gerrymandering. Gerrymandering is when they do congressional redistricting, okay? And that's to try to get more seats for one party in a certain state, okay? Well, I've been following, in my news feed how people are leaving states like California, Illinois, Massachusetts, Maryland, New York. They're leaving these big blue states. They're leaving, like Michigan and Iowa. They're leaving Iowa. They're leaving all these big blue states all across the country, and they're moving away, and they're moving to Texas, and they're moving to Colorado. In fact, so many Californians have moved to Colorado that houses that cost 3-4 years ago that cost $250,000, you know, in a 3-bedroom ranch are now costing $750,000-$800,000 because you got these rich Californians coming in and causing a buying war, a price war for the houses, and it's causing the values of property to skyrocket, and the traffic is terrible. And that's just Denver. I mean, I heard a statistic that over 200,000 Californians had moved to Texas just in the last 3 years or so. So what does that mean? That means if you lose population in your state, you lose voters. If you lose voters, then you lose congressmen. Okay? If you lose voters, you lose congressmen. So what do you do to keep that seat? If you're a Democrat or a Republican, usually these are Democrats, what do you do to keep your seat if you lose your population? I wondered this, because in Maryland, they're having all these gangs come in, and I heard like a mayor of a city in a nice town, real nice town, MS-13, these Mexican and Honduran gangs coming in there, raping. A girl got raped in a high school. I mean, killing people. They have to, you know, in order to get in the gang, they have to murder somebody. And the mayor is like, we welcome them with open arms. They call them sanctuary cities. Sanctuary cities. Come on down. It's like Bob Barker. Anybody remember Bob Barker? Come on down. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right. Praise the Lord. Well, they're like saying to the people down the south of the border, come on down. We'll give you free everything because we want you. We want you because we can keep our congressional seat. That's what they're saying. We want you, and we want to improve our tax base. We want you to work, you know, whatever you do, if you're a roofer, if you're a gardener, whatever it is you do, you know, they're not getting brain surgeons crossing the border. They're getting usually manual laborers, you know. It's not a racist comment. It's true. And so whatever you do, they want to keep their congressional seats. People are moving. Elijah Cummings just died. Congressman Cummings, he just died. His district in Maryland is, I saw an expose on TV, it's falling apart. It's inner city. Houses are dilapidated. Buildings are falling down. Crime is horrible. People are, you know, shootings and death. People are fleeing Baltimore. They're leaving Maryland. Well, if people leave a city, they get fewer representation, less representation. And what do you think these fires are doing in California? Fires from San Francisco down to South Los Angeles. And constant burning houses, burning rich people's houses. People are moving out. They're saying, enough of this. I'm going somewhere else. Amen? And so God showed me that in order to keep congressional, that they want the border flow. They want to bring anybody who will come across the border, they can count ahead, they can count their heads as citizens and give them all voting rights and whatever so that they can keep their congressional seats. This is really amazing what God's doing. God is doing his own congressional redistricting. He's doing his own congressional redistricting. So anyway, that's my thought for the day from Rabbi. Okay, well, praise the Lord. I had cancer treatment this week, and I had 12 hours of my first infusion of cancer treatment, of immunotherapy. And I'm just going to say this. One of my counts is critically low, and it could be dangerous for me. But on the other hand, they told me my counts are higher than most people's counts after that treatment. And they told me I had one of the biggest treatments they've ever given because I'm a big guy. They said, I took more of the medicine than most people because of my size, and they said that my counts. They've been testing my blood counts yesterday and the day before, or Friday and Monday, whatever. Anyway, Friday and Thursday they tested them, and. They said they're not as low as they normally would go. Amen. That's a praise report. So folks who've been praying for me, thank you. Keep praying those counts up, those low counts. Just pray for those blood counts to go up, especially the ones that are low. Keep praying. Thank you very much. And it's a miracle that I'm standing here before you today and doing this. It really is that God's giving me the strength to do this. So. It's a blessing to be here. God bless you all. And I'm just want to thank you for coming. And thank you for those who came out today. If I could come out with cancer treatment, there are not too many excuses people can give me why they can't be here today. Unless they had to work or were very extremely sick, I cannot think of an excuse why you wouldn't be here today in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Sabbath. Amen? Amen. And you tell a friend, you call a friend and say, you know, Rabbi showed up today. Where were you? Call a friend and ask him. Amen? And if I could do 12 hours of cancer treatment Tuesday and be here on Saturday, you know, people can be here. And that's a spanking. You can take it that way. So anyway, God bless you. We're going to take up our offering and our tithes and offerings this morning. And I want to offer a special gift for folks watching online. This is called The Bridegroom and the Second Coming. It's a three-part teaching. And for your love gift of $35 in the USA, I don't know how much it would cost to send it abroad, but if you're in the USA and you, for your love gift of $35 or more online, we'll send you this teaching, The Bridegroom and the Second Coming. It's a powerful prophetic teaching about the bridegroom and you, who is the bridegroom, who is the bride, and how do we know things. Jewish understanding of the bridegroom is what it is, and the coming of the bride. Amen. And so it's really prophetic and cool teaching. And for your love gift of $35 or more, we'll send it to you in the USA. You can just order it online. Just say you want the bridegroom in the memo. Just put you want the bridegroom CD set, and we'll send this to you. Okay? God bless you. And we're going to pray, and we're going to take up our tithes and offerings. And hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your provision, for the needs of this ministry, Lord. You know our needs. We need a new driveway. We're eventually going to need a new heat pump, and we want to redo our sanctuary, Lord. We want to update it, Lord. And so we have electrical needs, and we need a new water heater installed, a larger one. The women want a larger water heater. And so we have a lot of things that we need to get done, and a lot of needs for this ministry. But Lord, we know that you provide because you are our provider, Lord. You are Adonai Yireh, the Lord who sees. What's the Lord who provides? Jireh. It's Yireh too. I guess Yireh is the Lord who provides. Amen. You are the Lord who provides, Lord. So we just thank you for these offerings. Now bless the giver, bless the gift a hundredfold, Lord. Thank you that you meet the needs of this congregation. I just give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Yeshua's mighty name, Lord, thank you so much for all you do for us. Thank you for I'm just thankful to be here today. And thank you that Terry and Anna came down, Lord, from all the way from Culpeper. They came all the way from Culpeper, Virginia, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless them, Lord. We just thank you for Terry and Anna. And Lord, just heal my son Isaac from walking pneumonia. Heal his body and strengthen him, Lord. In Yeshua's name, amen. And we're going to play the happy song. Let's bring our offerings with joy, cheerfully.
Change my life.
Y'all can dance, man. You can just get up there and start dancing.
My heart is bursting, Lord, to tell of all you've done, of how you changed my life from one to way to pass. Oh, I want to shout it out from every rooftop scene. For now I know that God is for me, not against me. Oh, I can sing out and in song of how you saved my soul. Everybody dance. singing, 'cause we're so happy. Everybody's dancing now, 'cause we're so happy.
Hallelujah. And when I was younger and I'd play that song, I'd be dancing all over the place in front of the church, wherever, you know, where I learned that song. I actually learned it in England when I was traveling. I actually got that CD, and that's where I discovered the happy song. But then the church that I was going to years ago, 20 years ago, used to play it, and people would get up and dance, and man, we had a great time. And the band played it, and they didn't dance like in circles. People just danced, you know. And, you know, you'd be surprised what God will do for your life if you get up and dance. You know, you'd be surprised how he'll heal you. You'd be surprised how he'll touch you. You'd be surprised, you know, you just let your feet start moving. You'll be surprised what God will do. But if we sit there like, we all sit there like bumps on a log, forget it, you know. I mean, I'm serious. You just sit there and God's gonna just like say, if you're gonna go like, oh well, I mean, people, you know, somebody gets a touchdown at a football game, everybody stands up, you know. But if people just keep sit there in a song like that, God's gonna say, look at you, and you're like, oh well, you know, that's the truth. That is the truth. All right, let's worship. And if people don't worship, I'm challenging you. If we don't worship, I'm gonna just cut it short and go to the sermon, okay? All right, Lord God of Abraham. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac and Israel, let it be known today that you are God. We offer up our lives as a living sacrifice. Purify us with your holy fire. Holy fire, you are the Holy One, highly exalted One. We've come to worship at your holy hill. You are the Holy One, highly exalted One, and we surrender to your sovereign will. O Lord God of Abraham, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac and Israel, let it be known today that you are God. Come now and fill this place, be exalted in our praise. Let it be known today that you are God. Lord of eternity, mystery behind the veil. Lord over heaven and earth, God of Israel. Let's start that one again. All right. Lord of, Lord of eternity, mystery behind the veil. Lord over heaven and earth, God of Israel. Come with your wisdom and power. Come with your honor and strength. Lord, hear the cry of our hearts. Come, O conquering King. Every eye will see glory fill the sky. Adonai, Adonai. Every knee will bow to Lord Most High. Adonai, Adonai. You alone are God. Every tongue will cry. Adonai. Jerusalem waits, praises lifted on high. Hear the beautiful gates, long to see you arise. Arise, when all Zion sings, our oath above a shame. Clap your hands, all the earth. You are Lord over all the earth. You are Lord over all the earth. You are Lord over all the earth. Let me hear you.
You are Lord over all the earth. You are Lord
over all the earth.
You are Lord over all the earth. You is Lord over all the earth.
Is he Lord?
He is Lord over all the earth. He is Lord over all the earth.
Who is Lord?
You are Lord over all the earth. You are Lord over all the earth. Adonai, Adonai. Every knee will bow to you, Lord Most High. Adonai, Adonai, you alone are God. Every tongue will cry, Adonai.
Shofar out there. Anybody got a shofar? Why should I be afraid? Ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Lord is my light and my salvation, why should I be afraid? The Lord is my light and my salvation, why should I be afraid? Whoa, 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 whoa.
more guitar.
The Lord is my strength and my star tower. Why should I be afraid? The Lord is my strength and my strong tower. Why should I be afraid? He will hide me in the sanctuary in the day of war. And I will stand between the victory, for the battle is the Lord's. Whoa, 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 whoa.
The Lord is my help in times of trouble.
Why should I be afraid? The Lord is my help in times of trouble. Why should I be afraid? Whoa, 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 whoa. In the day of war, and I will stand before the victory, for the battle is the Lord. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Shout to the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Shout
you,
to
Lord.
The Lord. All right. This one ought to get you up. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up. I call to you, Lord, for help, and you heal me. Rejoice in the morning, at noon, and at night, for you have shown mercy to me. So I will dance, you have shown mercy to me.
My heart will sing,
you have shown mercy to me.
Fill me with joy, 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 joy.
You have shown mercy to me.
You have shown mercy to me.
My morning now
you have turned into dancing. You removed my shroud, and now I'm clothed with joy,
that my heart may sing
to you, and not be silent, for you have shown mercy to me.
So I will dance. You have shown mercy to me. My heart will sing. You have shown mercy to me. Fill me with joy, joy, joy. You have shown mercy to me.
Storm after that, okay? Lord, take up your holy throne. Lord,
take up your holy throne.
No, no music. No music. Okay, I'm going to start again.
Ready?
Lord, take up your... Can we stop the music, please? All right, just play Eye of the Storm, forget it.
Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control.
In the middle of the war, you guard my soul.
You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn.
Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm.
When the solid ground is falling out from underneath my feet,
between the black skies and the red eyes, and I can barely see. When I realize I'm so loved by my friends and my family, I feel the rain reminding me.
In the eyes of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul.
You alone are the anchor
when the sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm.
Far from me, and I'm running out of faith. I see the future, a picture, slowly fade away.
When the tears of pain and heartache
are pouring down my face, I find my peace in Jesus' name.
In the eyes of the storm, you remain in control.
In the eye of the war,
my soul, you alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm.
Only got a few months left.
It's like a bitter pill and swallow it. I can barely take a breath. And when the danger kills my baby girl, and there's nothing I can do,
My only hope is to trust in you.
I trust
you, Lord.
In the eye of the storm,
you remain in control.
You remain in control.
In the middle of the war.
In the middle of the war.
You guard my soul.
Alone are the anchors.
When my sails are torn,
your love surrounds me.
Your love surrounds me.
In the eye of the storm.
In the eye of the storm.
You remain in control.
You remain in control.
In the middle of the war.
You guard my soul.
You guard my soul.
You alone are the anchor. When my sails are torn, your love surrounds me. In the eye of the storm.
Is raging,
the
storm
is raging. My hope is gone.
And my hope is gone.
When the flesh is fading,
you are
still holding on.
When the storm is raging,
and my hope is gone.
When my flesh is fading,
they're still holding on.
When the storm is raging,
and my hope is gone.
When my flesh is failing,
they're still holding on.
Hallelujah. The Lord is in control in the eye of the storm.
Amen.
Amen. Yeshua slept in the boat during the storm, and his disciples were freaking out, bailing out the boat. And they were worried and they were terrified, and he said, "What's all the fuss about? Why'd you wake me up?"
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. God's got it. Whatever you're going through, folks, God's got it under control. Amen. He's got you in his hand. He, you know, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he's watching me.
Amen.
Amen. Let's all say that. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Amen. All right. So we're going to go to the Lord's table, and if you have some bread or crackers or matzah and grape juice, Manischewitz, Carmel, whatever you'd like to join us, just get yourself ready, and we're going to go to the Lord's table and make preparations to do that. So please join us at home if you're watching, and ladies, you can cue up the songs that we're getting ready. Don't have to play them yet, but when we're ready. Okay, thank you. Terry, good job there. I enjoyed worshiping with you too. Amen. Jenny, let's give it up for Terry.
Give it to Yeshua.
And, all right, could somebody help Aja come in there? She's trying to get in. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask Anna and Carolyn if you come and serve today.
Baruch Atanai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Peri HaGafen Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen.
Baruch Atanai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz
Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Amen. On the night he was betrayed, Yeshua took the third cup of the Passover meal, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sin." On that same Passover night, Yeshua took the middle layer of bread of the three pieces on every table, called the unity. And he took the middle layer and he broke it and gave it to his disciples, the afikomen. And he gave it and he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Hallelujah. And so by this, he forever changed the meaning of Passover.
Yes.
And we just praise him that when we come to this table represents the cross. So when you come to this table, it's as though you were coming to the cross. And we know that this is not his blood and this is not his body, because he already got off the cross. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
And this is just represents his body and his blood. But we remember what he did. He said, "Remember what I did. As often as you do this, remember." So we remember. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So just prepare your hearts to come now. The Bible says, for anybody watching that doesn't know the Messiah, if you'd like to meet the Messiah, and you're here today or you're watching, if you don't know the Messiah and you'd like to meet him, just raise your hand. You can be in your car. You can be in your home. You can be in your office, wherever you are. If you don't know the Messiah and you'd like to meet the Messiah today, just raise your hand and I'll pray with you. The Bible says that Yeshua is the Son of God, that's Jesus, that he died for your sins and mine, that he rose from he was buried 3 days and three nights, and he rose from the dead on the third day, incredibly conquering the power of sin and death, and taking the keys to hell, taking them back from the devil, and so that he could control those keys, and we just thank you, Lord, that you have set us free from the penalty of death, Lord, that those who believe in you will never taste death. That's your promise to us, that when we pass from this world, we'll go right into eternal life, and we won't experience the sting of death. How would you like that, to never have to experience the sting of death? That'd be pretty awesome, huh? Praise God. That's the promise that he gives us. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Amen? It's swallowed up in victory. Thank you, Lord. And so we're going to, if you would like to pray and receive the Messiah, if you never met the Messiah, just pray this prayer with me. Pray with me. Just say what I say. And it's not what I say as much as what's in your heart. Dear God, I want to meet the Messiah. I've messed up in my life. I've made mistakes. I've broken your laws. And I admit it. Forgive me, God. Thank you for sending Yeshua, your son, to die in my place, to take the penalty, to take that sting of death, so that I don't have to. Thank you, God. Wash me. Wash me. Cleanse me of my sin. Cleanse me of my uncleanness. And forgive me. And write my name in your book of life forever and ever. In Yeshua's name. Amen. All right. If you prayed that prayer and you received the Messiah today, just contact me by email. You can contact me or there's several ways online you can reach me. You can first private message me on Facebook for Zion's Sake Ministries. You can call our office, leave a message. Just say, "I accepted the Lord," and leave your name and address. I have a special gift for you, and I'll contact you. So please just let us know if you received the Lord today, if you met the Messiah. All right. God bless you all. It's a good thing to, I say, keep God, you know, I've always believed, keep a short list of sins in your life. And if you have sins to confess, this is a good time to confess your sins before God before you come to the Lord's table, and prepare your hearts and come as you're ready. Ladies, I turn it over to you. Thank you.
come that tree, the love of God. There for you, there for me, the love of God. And he's here for you, he's here for me, he's here for three. Jesus is the love of God.
Thank you, Lord. L'chaim be Yeshua, to life in Yeshua. I got so into the worship that I was stamping my foot, and I shouldn't do that. not supposed to do that. So, hallelujah. But I was excited. I was worshiping the Lord. You know, even I'm used to some pretty wild, pretty fun worship. I'm used to when I went to Living Waters Family Church. They didn't dance in a circle. The people would just. The Spirit would move them, and they would just move out of their seats and come to the front, and they would just start dancing. And I mean, they danced. They would wave their hands and move their legs, and people would just dance. I mean, they got the Spirit would come upon them. I would do it. I would dance. And then, you know, I learned. Of course, we did Jewish dance where we dance in circles, and it's more articulate and more skilled. And I've done that too. But I'm not as good at it. But I dance. You know, I always danced, especially when I weighed less. You know, what I come to realize when I come here each week is I come up here and lead worship. And the more you give back to the people leading worship, the more they are energized. The more that you put into worship, the more energized we. Is that right, Terry? The more energized we get when you respond. And so this is not a jab at you or anybody. It's just a general comment. When I go to a church or a synagogue and the people don't worship, or they just sit there, and you know, I've been to many. I just look up to God. I go above the clouds. I say, Lord, take me above the clouds. I just want to worship you. And I just look, forget about who's in the room, and I just look to my Creator, and I worship Him. And that's what I'll do. Every time I'm going to come here, whether the people dance or worship or blow the shofar or anything, I'm going to worship God. You know, I'm going to worship God. You can sit there and have a miserable day. You can be stewing and Some people don't even come, you know, whatever, for whatever reason. You know, most people have the silliest, most people have the silliest reasons for not coming, you know, and did you turn that on?
Not yet.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll tell you when to hit it on. And but that's the way, that's my attitude, you know, is I'm going to worship God, and I'm going to do what I'm called to do until he stops it.
Amen.
You know, and I'll be honest with you, you know, there's a lot of power there, but God has a lot of power. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word today, for your anointing. Anoint our ears to hear and our eyes to see. Help us to let the word penetrate our hearts, Lord. Give us new wineskins, Lord. Take away the old leathery wineskins and give us soft new ones. I pray, Lord, and pray that you would just empty me of Joe and fill me with your word and your ruach. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, in Yeshua's name. And I just thank you, and I bind the enemy in Yeshua's name. You can start that, Diane. Hallelujah. All right, and praise God. So, are we on there on Facebook? All right. Shalom, Facebook friends. Shalom, I'm Rabbi Joe. Everybody say shalom. Let's greet our Facebook friends. Hallelujah. Welcome, Facebook. Hallelujah. We're glad you're with us. Hallelujah. Today's message is Isaiah 62:10. We may touch more on Isaiah 62. That is the scripture that God gave me to name this ministry originally 20 years ago. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. It's Isaiah 62, for Zion's sake ministries. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not hold my peace until her righteousness goes forth like a blazing torch. And so God gave me that verse to name this ministry for Zion's sake ministries. We are the original, we are the first, and others, there's imitations out there, but we're the original. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, God. And so anyway, I want to begin today with this, just a little thought that I shared on social media. And this is from Luke 1:32. It says, he will be great. This is when the angel was talking to Miriam, Mary. And he said, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Who, talking about Jesus, Yeshua. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. That's Isaiah 62. And that's Luke chapter 1, verse 32. If you really think about it, everyone who served God in the Bible was either serving God's future vision for Israel and the Jewish people, such as Noah, as Anthony talked about today. Everybody who served God, think about this. Every single person who served God in the Bible, either before the return of the Lord or nearing the return of the Lord, is serving God's future vision for Israel and the Jewish people. How so? Well, let's just look at Noah and Terah and Abram, Isaac, Jacob, Esther, Ezra, Nehemiah, and the prophets, the disciples, and those who follow them. Even to today, if you believe in and serve Yeshua, Jesus, then you are working to help him return and take his place on a Jewish throne. Zechariah 8 says he's coming back to dwell in Jerusalem. The throne of David, Luke 1:32, he will be great and called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Right now he's sitting at the right hand of power in heaven, in high place, and he's coming back to earth to sit on the throne of David. Amen? Now, not the throne of Spain, not the throne of Monaco, or Denmark, or England, but the throne of King David. Amen? A Jewish throne, the throne of Israel. You cannot separate, listen to me, you cannot separate truly serving the Lord and not serving Israel. You may not know it. You may be leading people to the Lord. You may be out evangelizing drunks and drug addicts under a bridge, and you may not be thinking about the Messiah coming and sitting on David's throne, but what you're doing is helping to bring people into the kingdom who are going to stand before that throne. Revelation 7, verse 9 says, "And I saw multitudes and multitudes clothed in white robes standing before the throne and the 24 elders, and they had palm branches in their hands, and they were worshiping the Lord, saying, 'Great and wonderful is thy wondrous, are thy wondrous deeds, O Lord God the Almighty.'" Amen? That what you're doing, so even if you're out under a bridge ministering to the drug addicts and the heroin addicts and the drunks and the homeless people, you are helping to bring people into the kingdom so they will enter into the throne room of God and see Him seated on the throne. Amen? And in Daniel 7 it says that the Ancient of Days was seated on His throne, and He has white woolly hair, and fire was coming from His eyes and out from before Him. And it says, "Then I saw one coming in the clouds, like a son of man coming in the clouds, and to Him was given a kingdom and dominion and great authority and power was given to Him." That's the Son of God. And He will rule and reign forever. Amen? You cannot separate truly serving the Lord and not serving Israel, whether you know it or not. He is coming back, the Jewish Messiah, not the French Messiah, not the Danish Messiah, not the English Messiah, the Jewish Messiah, to rule and reign over the world from Jerusalem on a Jewish throne. Isaiah 2:3 says, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, for the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Hallelujah! "And the nations will stream to the mountain, to it, and it'll be raised above all the other mountains of the earth." It's also in Micah 4:2. It pays to get connected, folks, to the believing Jewish community, the Messianic Jewish community, for when Yeshua returns, all Israel will be Messianic Jewish. Something to chew on. Amen? That's something to chew on. It pays to get connected to the Messianic Jewish community now while you're here on earth, because when the kingdom comes, where all Israel is going to be a Messianic Jewish country. You know, there's other denominations over there. There's Baptists over there. There's Presbyterians. There's Anglicans. There's Mormons. And everybody thinks that their group is going to evangelize and be the group that takes over Israel one day. But the truth is, Israel is going to become a Messianic Jewish country. It's not. God bless the Baptists. God bless the Christians and the Presbyterians and the Anglicans. But you know, and I'm sure many of them are doing a good work. I could get into some of the good things that God has shown me they're doing over there, but I don't have time. But there's many of them are doing a wonderful work. But Israel is going to be a Messianic Jewish country with a Jewish Messiah sitting on a Jewish throne, the throne of David, Luke 1:32. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I just feel compelled. Would you just stretch your hands out and just pray for my foot? I banged it, and I should not have been doing that. And just pray that just no bleeding. Just pray for that right now in the name of Yeshua. I wasn't thinking. I really needed it. Should not have been doing that. No bleeding. Hallelujah. I got so excited in the worship. I was stomping my foot, but I should not have been doing that. Thank you, Lord. All right. So today's message is called, thank you. Isaiah is, go through the gates. Go through the gates. Clear the way for the people. Build up the highway. Yes. And what does it mean? What does it mean to go through the gates? Go through the gates. It says it twice. Go through the gates. Clear the way for the people. Build up the highway. Okay? So what is the Lord talking about there? Let's turn to Isaiah 62. All right. And let's turn to Isaiah 62. And I'll start in verse 1. For Zion's sake, Zion is another word for Jerusalem. It's a synonym for Jerusalem. I will not keep silent. And then he repeats it in another way. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not keep quiet. Until her righteousness goes forth like the brightness and her salvation like a torch that is burning, the nations will see your righteousness and all kings your glory, and you will be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will designate. You will also be the crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. It will no longer be said to you forsaken, nor to your land any longer. So he's talking to the Jewish people. He's saying, you will no longer be said to you, you're forsaken, nor your land will no longer be called desolate. He's saying to the Jews, you will be called my delight as in her, and your land married, for the Lord delights in you, and to him your land will be married. For as a young man marries a virgin, so your sons will marry you, and as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God will rejoice over you. So if you're a son of God, and you're connected to Israel, because you got to be over there in Jerusalem, then you're going to be that bridegroom if you're a son or daughter of God. Amen. Verse 6, on your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen all day and all night. They will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his strong arm, I will never again give your grain as food for your enemies, nor will foreigners drink your new wine for which you have labored. But those who garner it will eat it and praise the Lord, and those who gather it will drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. In verse 10, go through the gates, clear the way for the people, build up the highway, remove the stones, lift up a standard over the peoples. Behold, the Lord is proclaimed to the end of the earth. Say to the daughter of Zion, lo, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense, his punishment is before him, and they will call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you will be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're going to focus today on go through the gates, clear the way for the people, build up the highway, remove the stones, lift up the standard over the peoples. And I want to say to you, last week I talked about crazy faith. I talked about serving the Lord. I talked about Tamar. She had to play a prostitute thank you, sir, to get her her kinsman redeemer. In other words, Judah had given her two sons. Both sons died, and it was the law of levirate marriage in the Bible. If you look up levirate marriage, or you look up the kinsman redeemer, and you study it, if a woman had no, without her husband, Jewish husband, she had no inheritance in Israel. If her husband died, she lost the farm. It was like a country song. She lost her dog. She lost the pickup truck. She lost it all. But if his brother, the guy that died, married her, she got it all back. She got the pickup truck back. She got the farm. She got the dog. She got it all back. Okay. That's the truth. And that's why women who didn't have a man in those days became either prostitutes, beggars, or just basically prostitutes or beggars. There weren't too many other jobs for them. Amen? Or they became slaves. Slaves, prostitutes, and beggars. That's pretty much what happened to women in those days without a man. And that was in the whole world. That wasn't just Israel. But particularly in Israel, God had a solution for it in Israel. In Rome, they just made them slaves, beggars, and whores. But in Israel, God had a way out. Everybody say, God had a way out. God always has a way out, Eddie. Jacob. Ash. You go by Jacob or... what's the other name? Aaron Jacob. That's it. I forgot the Aaron. Good to see you. Welcome. Praise the Lord. All right, let's move on. So last week we talked about crazy faith. We talked about people, Mary, the angel Gabriel coming down and coming upon her and saying to her, you know, woman, you have found favor with God. And she's like, who, me? You know, yeah, you. You found favor with God. And the Lord most, and the Lord will come upon you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And you will conceive and bear a son by the Holy, you know, the Holy Spirit. And she's just like, okay. You know, she didn't count the cost, that the penalty for having a baby without a husband is death. She didn't think about that. She just said, okay. You know, she didn't fight the Holy Spirit. Amen. And she came with child. Now, she was engaged at that time to a man named Joseph. And in Matthew chapter 1, it's first front page news. The angel Gabriel comes to Joseph and says, Joseph, he finds out she's with child. He knows it's not her because they're engaged and he hasn't been with her. And so Joseph was going to put her away quietly because he was a good man. He was going to send her to a home for unwed mothers. But instead of doing that, the angel came to him and said, Joseph, don't put her away. Marry her. Because Joseph, see, there was no king in Israel in those days, because way back about 500 years before, give or take, God cursed the line. Everybody say, God cursed the line of Solomon. God cursed the line of Solomon. There was a wicked king named Jehoiakim or Jeconiah. Jeconiah was a wicked king. He was a descendant of Solomon. And God cursed, in the book of Jeremiah, I believe it's around chapter 25, God cursed the line of Jeconiah and said, there will none of your seed, no offspring of Jeconiah, will ever sit on the throne of David. No offspring of Jeconiah. In other words, God cut off the line of King Solomon. Jeconiah. Jeconiah did have sons. Shealtiel was one of his sons. Shealtiel had a son named Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel went on to become, after the return back to Israel, they rebuilt the temple. Zerubbabel became the governor of Judah, but not the king, even though he was the bloodline. And if you look in Matthew 1 in the genealogy, Zerubbabel's right there. He was qualified to be the king, but since God cursed the line of Solomon, there was no king after Jeconiah. Everybody say, no king. No king. After Jeconiah died, none of his sons, none of his grandsons, and Joseph was in the line of Jeconiah. All right? That Joseph, if there had been a king in the day of Joseph, an earthly king, not Yeshua is the king, amen? Jesus is the king, amen? He's the king of the Jews. But as far as an earthly king, there was no earthly king after Jeconiah in the time of Jesus because of the curse. So there were just, Joseph was qualified. He was the man, he was the heir to the throne. Everybody say, heir to the throne. He was the heir to the throne, but he couldn't inherit it because it was cursed. So what was the big deal about him marrying Mary? Why was it so important? Well, this is how God got around the curse. The Messiah needed to be a son of David, right? But remember what I said about a woman: if she lost her husband, or she had no husband, she lost her pickup truck, her dog, and the farm, right? That means a woman couldn't give inheritance to a child, right? In other words, and if she could, that means Ruth, who was in the lineage of the Messiah, would have bastardized the line and made it Moabite. By giving Moabite lineage into the line of David, she would have defiled it. Tamar, who was, I think, a Canaanite, would have Rahab from Jericho would have defiled the line of David, the line of Jesse. Okay, if a woman could have given that inheritance, but it came through the man. Everybody say, through the man. It's time to manpower. Everybody say, manpower. Time we need some more manpower. It's time men have been getting beaten up in this world. We need to start appreciating men, because without men you wouldn't be here. That's right. Everybody say, without a man I wouldn't be here. Amen. Only Jesus, not us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Right. All right. So Joseph is very important. So how does he give the lineage? He's qualified. He's got the lineage. Everybody say, he's got the pedigree. King Prince Harry in England. He's a royal. He's a prince. You know,
He's like fifth in line to the throne. I mean, Prince William is like number two in line next to his father. You know, these are royalty. Amen. They're princes. They have pedigree. Amen. They have all the trappings of wealth and power and royalty and all these things. Joseph had all those things, but since the line was cursed, he couldn't make Yeshua the king. So how? Because the bloodline. Everybody say the bloodline. So you know how God got around the curse of the bloodline? Adoption. Joseph adopted by marrying Mary. He adopted her son who was conceived by the Holy Spirit. You read it in Matthew 1 yourself. I'm not going to take you there. You read Matthew 1. The Holy Spirit is the Father. Joseph adopted the soul. Is the Holy Spirit a son of David? Somebody say no. No. Somebody said no. The Holy Spirit is not a son of David. Is the Holy Spirit a son of Jesse? No. Is the Holy Spirit a son of Abraham? No. The Holy Spirit is not a son of any man. Amen? But the Holy Spirit came on Mary, and Mary conceived a child by the Holy Spirit, but yet the Holy Spirit couldn't make the child Davidic, a son of David, with the title, with the pedigree to sit on the throne of King David. Do you understand? I like that commercial. It says, you know, where the British chef is there in the Walmart or whatever, the Costco, and the woman is with her boyfriend, and the guy's like picking at the food, and the chef is like slaps his hand and says, "It's not a buffet," and he says, "Use the cocktail sticks," and then the girlfriend looks at her boyfriend and says, "Yeah, use the cocktail sticks." That's gonna crack. If you haven't seen that, you got to see it. But it cracks me up every time. Anyway, Joseph gave the lineage. He had the pedigree. Everybody say he had the pedigree. But there was a curse on the bloodline. But he wasn't the blood father. He say he wasn't the blood father. He gave the pedigree through adoption. If I adopt a son, if I adopt a child, then that child becomes my heir. Amen? If I adopt a little boy or a little girl somewhere or a baby, that becomes my child. I know a very wealthy man, probably the wealthiest man in the whole area. He adopted a boy when he was a baby, and that boy is set for life because he got adopted into one of the wealthiest families in East Tennessee and probably all of Tennessee. Amen? You know, and he's an heir. Everybody say he's an heir. Not by blood, by adoption. And so when Joseph adopted Jesus, Yeshua, by marrying Mary, the boy became his son through adoption, and he got the pedigree of David. He got the right to sit on the throne but he broke the curse. And now his son could be king. His son could be king. Amen. You see that? He went around the curse. Everybody say, God went around the curse by adoption. He broke, because the curse was on the bloodline, but Joseph's blood wasn't involved in the pregnancy of Mary. Okay? So I don't want to spend too much time on that. But so go through the gates. What does it mean to go through? Go through the gates. Okay? We talked about this last week, that you know, these people like Jacob. Jacob was entitled to a blessing. God said that he would bless the older would serve the younger. When Jacob and Esau were born, Esau was older than Jacob, and God said the older will serve the younger. Amen. And so the blessing, if we go to Genesis 27, I think it is. Here's the blessing that he stole. Now he dressed up in skins. His mother told him to do this. Isaac favored Esau because he was a hunter. He was strong. Isaac admired him because he was a hunter. He was manly, and he didn't really care for Jacob. Jacob dwelt in tents. He was gentle. He was quiet. He was probably, you know, a bookworm. You know, his father wasn't impressed with him. He wasn't into football. You know what I'm saying? But and then so Jacob fooled his dad. He put on skins, and his mother made him do it. put on skins, and he and his mother made a savory meal for Isaac, and he came in with these garments on. He smelled like, you know, he'd been out in the, like, you know, imagine you smell a dog, you know, put on those skins, you're going to smell, right? See, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Now may God give you the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, Jacob. And he didn't know it was Jacob. He thought it was Esau. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you. And Jacob was it wasn't really was he wasn't stealing the blessing. It was his. Jacob was the father of the 12 tribes of Israel, of Judah. There would have been no Messiah if Jacob didn't get that blessing, which was his to begin with. Just like Tamar deserved, she had a right to marry the third son of Judah in Genesis 38. She had a right to have a child with Judah's third son, but Judah didn't do the right thing. He didn't give her his third son after the first two died. Now, I don't blame Judah for not doing that. If a woman married two of my sons and they died, I might be a little hesitant to give him the third one. You know, I might say, well, I like my third son. I'd like to keep him around a little while. And this woman, you know, she seems to have a bad effect on my sons. You know, maybe that's what Judah was thinking, you know. But so Jacob needed this blessing because he, first of all, God promised it. Second of all, he was the chosen one to bring the Messiah into the world. Amen? Jacob is the father of the Jewish people. Jacob is the father of the 12 tribes. Jacob is the father of Judah, who gave birth to Jesse. Through the line of Judah came the Messiah. Amen? The Messiah had to come through the line of Jesse. It says in Isaiah 11, and a root will go forth from Jesse, and a branch will go forth from his roots. Amen? And the Spirit of God will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and truth. Hallelujah, amen. It's a prophecy of the Messiah coming through the line of Jesse, the father of David. Glory to God. Okay, so the blessing here was, it appears that Jacob stole it, and he did technically, but really it was Isaac that messed up because Isaac wasn't doing the God thing. So Jacob, sometimes you have to do what it takes to get it done. Sometimes you, everybody say this with me, sometimes you have to do whatever it takes to get God's work done. Sometimes you got to prostitute yourself, you got to have a baby out of wedlock, you got to do whatever it takes. Be willing to do crazy things, crazy faith. You know what I'm saying? Joseph had crazy faith. You know, Abraham had crazy faith, leaving a land that he knew, going out into the desert to Canaan with his family because he heard this voice from a God that nobody in his family had ever heard from. And he left his people, and he took his family and his flocks, and he went to this foreign land. And there were no McDonald's and no Flying J's and no truck stops along the way. You know, he just went to this foreign country and followed the river down to Israel, to Canaan. And he lived among the Canaanites, and God said, I'm going to give you this land. Walk north, walk south, walk east, walk west. Wherever your footsteps, I'm going to give to you and your people, your descendants forever. By faith. Crazy faith. Yes, amen. Crazy faith. But see, every so often, everybody say this, every so often, God opens a door for us to go through. Every so often, God gives you, say, God gives me an opportunity. He's calling someone right now. He's giving you an opportunity. Every so often, God will give you a knock on your door, or maybe knock you over the head, and he'll give you an opportunity to serve him and do something. Amen? And you have a choice. And we're going to talk about those choices today and what some choices that a couple people made. But you have a choice whether to say yes or no. Amen? Are you going to say yes to God, or are you going to say no? Are you going to go through the door that he opens, or are you going to say, sorry, God, I'm not going to do it? So we're going to look at that. And Let's look in 2 Samuel 15. Let's look a little bit at King David today. So when it says go through the gates, it's saying when God opens a door for you to serve him, go through the door.
Amen.
Amen? Don't think about it. Just go through it like Mary did. Just go through it like Tamar did. Go through it like Jacob did. Go through it like Abraham did. Go through it like Peter did. Peter just dropped his nets and followed the Lord. God opened a door. Peter and the 12 disciples, they just dropped their nets. And Matthew left his tax collector's booth. And they just went through the door and followed the Lord. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. Amen?
Yes.
Praise God. So let's turn to, let's look a little bit at David. And we'll see because if you're not serving the throne of David, if you're not serving the Davidic kingdom, who are you serving? 2 Samuel 15. If you're not serving David's throne, which kingdom are you serving? Amen. Either you serve David or Yeshua in the throne of David. Luke 1:32, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. Luke 1:32. If you're not serving the throne of David, whose throne are you serving? Whose kingdom? 2 Samuel 15, verse 13. Let's look there. So Absalom had a conspiracy to take over the kingdom from his father, and David decided instead of fighting his son, he was going to flee Jerusalem. When Absalom, David's son, wanted to take over the kingdom, and he actually did. He had a coup, and he took over the kingdom, and David took his men, anyone loyal to him, and he left the city. So in verse 13, as he was leaving, it says, then a messenger came to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are with Absalom, his son. David said to all his servants who were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, for otherwise none of us will escape from Absalom. Go in haste, or he will overtake us quickly and bring down calamity on us and strike the city with the edge of the sword. Then the king's servants said to the king, behold, your servants are ready to do whatever you, my lord, the king chooses. So stop here for a second. Those who are loyal to David, everybody, let's say that. Those who are loyal to David left the city with him. Everyone else who accepted Absalom stayed in Jerusalem, okay? And then the king's servant said in verse 15, behold, your servants are ready to do whatever my lord the king chooses. So the king went out and all his household with him, but the king left 10 concubines to keep the house. The king went out and all the people with him, and they stopped at the last house. Now all his servants passed on beside him, all the Cherethites and the Pelethites and the Gittites. 600 men who had come with him from Gath passed on before the king. Then the king said to Ittai the Gittite, why will you also go with us? Return. See, Ittai was a Gittite. He tested him. Why will you also go with us? Return and remain with the king, for you are a foreigner. And also an exile. Return to your own place. You came only yesterday, and shall I today make you wander with us? Will I go where I will? Return, you know, go back to your people. Get out of Jerusalem. Go leave. And return. Take back your brothers. Mercy and truth be with you. But Ittai the Gittite answered the king and said, as the Lord lives, and as my lord the king lives, surely wherever my lord the king may be, whether for death or for life, there also your servant will be. Wow, that sounds a lot like Ruth, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Ruth said, your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you live, I will live, and where you die, I will die. Sounds very similar, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Amen? He was devoted to David. He came from wherever the Gittites lived. They played tight guitars in the land of the Gittites. And their guitars were very tight. But he came from that land where they made tight guitars. And it came just to be with David. He came all the way from the land of tight guitars to play to serve David from far away. Isn't it amazing? David said, "Return. You come from far away." Everybody say, "Far away." From far away. But he said, "No, King, I'm with you. I came to serve you from far away. I'm not leaving you." Amen. Isn't that beautiful? Verse 21, be whether death or life, there also your servant will be. Verse 22, therefore David said to Ittai, go and pass over. So Ittai the Gittite passed over with his tight guitar, with all his men and all the little ones who were with him. With all the country was weeping in a loud voice, all the people passed over. The king also passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. Now behold, Zadok the priest also came, and all the Levites with him, carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And let's see what David says here. This is interesting. And they set down the Ark of the Covenant of God. Abiathar came up, and all the people finished passing from the city. The king said to Zadok, return the Ark of the Covenant to the city. If I find favor in the sight of the Lord, then he will bring me back again and show me both and his habitation. But the priests were loyal to David. Yeah. But if he should say thus, I have no delight in you, behold, here I am, then let him do to me as it seems good to him. The king also said to Zadok the priest, are you not a seer? Return to the city in peace, and your two sons with you, and your son Ahimaaz and Jonathan, the son of Abiathar. See, I'm going to wait at the fords of the wilderness until word comes from you to inform me. So he had spies. David set up spies in Jerusalem. Smart. He set up spies to make sure, see what was going on there. Amen? And David went up the ascent of the Mount of Olives and wept as he went, and his head was covered, and he walked barefoot. Then all the people who were with him each covered his head and went weeping as they went. Now someone told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray, make the counsel of Ahithophel foolishness. See, Ahithophel was one of his advisors, but he had turned on David and betrayed David and followed his son. And there's a lot of betrayal going on in this country right now. A lot of people working for the president are testifying before Congress, and they're betraying the president, and they're speaking against the man they worked for who gave them a job and hired them. You know, and it's disgusting. It's despicable. It's without honor. It's shameful. They should be hung for it. I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican. If someone did that to a Democrat president, they should still be hung for it. When you're a traitor to your leader, you should be hung. That's the penalty. Okay, so let's go on here. Okay, so then it happened as David was coming to the summit where God was worshipped, and behold, Hushai the Archite met him with his coat torn and dust on his head. That was another one of David's counselors. David said to him, if you pass over with me, then you will be a burden to me. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, I will be your servant, O king, as I have been your father's servant in times past, so I will now be your servant. Then you can thwart the counsel of Ahithophel for me. Are not Zadok and Abiathar the priests with you there? So it shall be whatever you hear from the king's house, you shall report to Zadok and Abiathar the priests. Behold, their two sons are with them there, Ahimaaz. And so Hushai, David's friend, came into the city and Absalom and came into Jerusalem. So he went up to Absalom and said, I'm with you, buddy. You're the king now. Even though he was he was following King David, he was a spy for David. So David had one counselor and two priests. Amen? One advisor and two priests that supported David went back to Jerusalem to inform David what was going on. Amen? And help David plan. And also to give bad counsel to his son so that David would get back, would win. Yeah. David was smart. Okay? And nobody knew who the enemies of Absalom were. So let's stop here for a second. We see here that Ahithophel, one of David's advisors who went to serve Absalom, was a traitor. But Hushai was serving the throne of David. Amen? We see that Ittai the Gittite, the guy with the tight guitar, he was serving David's the throne of David, even though he was a Gentile, and he was a foreigner from far away. he was serving the throne of David. Amen? But other people stayed in the city, and they were serving Absalom, the false, the pretender to the throne, the fake, the phony. Amen? It's black and white, people. Either you're serving the throne of David, either you're serving the kingdom of David, or you're serving something else. There is no in between. You're either serving David's kingdom and David's throne, even today. Why today? Because this goes beyond the cross and beyond the resurrection. Jesus is coming back, amen? And Zechariah 8 says he's coming to live in Jerusalem. And he's gonna dwell in Jerusalem. And Luke 1 says he's going to sit on the throne of his father David, right? Amen? So when you serve Yeshua, it's like serving David. You're serving the throne of King David. You see that? How cool is that? I don't care if you're Jewish. I don't care if you're Christian. I don't care if you're a guy with a tight guitar. A fuzzy foreigner with a tight guitar. I don't care whoever you are. I don't care if you use the cocktail sticks. Wherever you are, if you're serving David, that's all that matters. You're serving David's kingdom. That's what's the most important thing. All right. Now there's another contrast. In 2 Samuel 17, there's this guy, as David's leaving the city, and 2 Samuel 2 Samuel 16:31. We see this guy named I'm getting messed up here. Help me, Lord. Help me. Say 16:5. This guy named Shammai. Everybody say Shammai. We don't say Shammai Israel. We say Shammai Israel. Shammai. You can always remember his name and say Shammai Israel. Shammai. Shammai. Oh, never mind. Anyway, verse 5, when King David came to Bahurim as he's fleeing the city, behold, there came out there a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shammai, the son of Gera. He came out cursing continually as he came. He threw stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were at his right hand and at his left. Thus Shammai said when he cursed, get out, you man of bloodshed and worthless fellow. The Lord has returned upon you all the bloodshed of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. And the Lord has given the kingdom into the hand of your son Absalom. And behold, you are taken in your own evil, for you are a man of bloodshed. Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over now and cut off his head. But the king said, what have I to do with you, O sons of Zeruiah? If he curses, and if the Lord has told him, curse David, then who shall say, why have you done so? Then David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, who came out from me, seeks my life now much more. So this guy Abishai cursed David, okay? He cursed him. But then there's another guy named Barzillai, or Barzillai, and look in verse 31. In verse, Lord help me, chapter 17, verse 27. Go to the next chapter. In verse 27, it says, now when David had come to Mahanaim, another town, Shobi, the son of Nahash from Rabbah, the sons of Ammon, Machir, the son of Amiel, and Lodabar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite, that's where Elijah was from, Gilead, from Rogalim, brought beds, basins, pottery, wheat, barley, flour, parched grain, beans, lentils, parched seeds, honey, curd, sheep, and cheese of the herd for David and for the people who were with him to eat. For they said, the people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. See, this guy, Barzillai, he took care of David and all his people's needs. He was a wealthy guy who lived way out in the Judean wilderness, probably 50 miles from Jerusalem, and he fed. He brought food and comfort and animals and sheep and meat and seeds and blankets, whatever they needed, he brought them to David's people. And David never forgot him. And David invited him later on, I believe, to come into Jerusalem and dwell in his palace and eat in his table. And Barzillai was in his 80s, and he said, you know, I'm too old, you know. But so we see the contrast here. This guy, Shimei, cursed David and threw stones at him, right? But Barzillai blessed him and brought him, you know, dried fruits and seeds and sheep and animals and food and provision. Amen? He was with David, you know. And this is the thing. I like to watch movies about kings because I find them very interesting. Kings have no friends. I was watching a movie last night about a king. I think it's called The King. It's a great movie on Netflix. It's really great. If you have Netflix, watch The King. And it's about King Henry V. And one of the men in the movie said, you know, that Henry conscribed to be his general of his armies. He said to him, "Kings have no friends. They only have, you know, they only have enemies and they have followers. Kings have no friends. They only have enemies and they have followers. You know, people who are loyal to them, but kings are very lonely." And I've noticed this when I watch movies about kings. They're very lonely. They don't know who to trust. They don't know who really cares about their interest and their king, what their vision is. You know, if you ever, every ministry has a board of directors. We have a board of directors. Every corporation has a board of directors. Every business has a board of directors. And every church, every, you know, should every, I don't know if a Methodist church has a board of directors. They have elders. But every corporation, you know, I'm sure the Methodist church has a board of directors. And so the point is, a board of directors' job is not to go into the, sit on the board and say, "Well, I think we should do blah, blah, blah." Okay? Exxon Mobil Corporation has a board of directors, but there's a chairman of the board. The chairman has the vision. The chairman has the plan for the company. And the board of the directors is to sit there and say, "Well, does this plan make sense? Is this plan legal? Is this plan doable? And if it is, rubber stamp it." It's not, a board of directors isn't there for people to come in and overrule the visionary, okay? So if you're a rebellious person, you don't belong on a board of directors. Because if you threaten the chairman of the board, you know, that's not the job of a director. The job of a director is to listen to what the vision of the director is, the executive director or the president, and to follow his lead. Listen to me, because you may end up on a board one day and you may not know what to do. And here's what you do. As long as the chairman of the board of the directors or chairwoman is doing something that seems right, it's biblical, it's not criminal, it's not wrong, and it's not financially irresponsible, then say yes, I will do it, you know. But it's not a place for you to impose your will. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
A board of directors is not a place. And so kings had councils, and too often they had people with their own agenda, and they couldn't trust the people they served. And that's this movie I saw, The King, last night. You can watch it on Netflix. You can download Netflix on your phone and watch it on your phone. That's what I did. I watched it at the gym. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go on. So we see here, there are people that serve David's throne. Why am I focusing on David? Because we're talking about two things. We're talking about going through the gates and serving. So every one of those people that walked out of Jerusalem to follow David was going through the gate. Every one of those people, God was giving them an opportunity to go through the gate, to leave, literally go through the gate. Why did David leave Jerusalem? He went through the gate. And God gave his followers a chance to go through the gate with him to prepare the way of his kingdom. It's an example. It's a foreshadow of Yeshua. David went through the gate. His followers went through the gate. Are you following me? And so that David's kingdom could be restored. And that David could be restored to his throne. Is that an amazing example? And so Yeshua says, I am the door. Not me, him. He's the door. He's the gate. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Amen. Whoever follows Yeshua and goes through the gate of Yeshua, goes through the door, you want to go through the Yeshua door. Amen? And if you do it and you serve Yeshua, and it's going to be, you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to, those people had to leave. Remember he said, go out in the Judean wilderness? He said to the guy with the Gittite, Ittai the Gittite, with the tight guitar, why would you want to follow me into the Judean wilderness and suffer? You know, I don't know, I don't have food. I can't promise you a meal. I can't promise you a bed. Why do you want to, you just got here yesterday. Why do you want to go suffer with me when you could go home or go back to Jerusalem and just stay here and get a motel in the city? Why do you want to go in the wilderness with me? And the guy said, your God will be my God and your people will be my people. Where you go, I will go. Where you die, I will die. I'm going to stick with you, buddy. You're my good thing. And he didn't care what suffering he came, was ahead of him. He followed David because he was following the throne. He went through the gate to serve the kingdom of David and the throne of David. And that's what we're called to do. When God gives you an opportunity to serve, you must go through the door. And it may mean going into the wilderness. Did you hear me? David left, he went through the gate and he entered the wilderness, the desert. Deserts aren't comfortable. Deserts don't have king-size beds. Deserts don't have air conditioning necessarily. I know people, when Kokeb was called out of Ethiopia and he went to Sudan, he had no air conditioning, but God brought him to the, he got an amazing job, miraculously, at the U.S. Embassy, cooking for a high staff member at the U.S. Embassy in Sudan. So the officer at the embassy, at the consulate, brought Rabbi Kokeb into the consulate or the embassy there in Sudan, and with his family, and they had air conditioning. And he became the cook for the for this guy, you know, at the consulate, the American consulate in Sudan, and he lived like a king compared to the Sudanese people, the Muslim people who suffered in the heat and had no air conditioning. God took care of them. Amen? So even though you may have to go into the wilderness to follow David, to go through the gate, when God opens a door and says, go through this door, and it may be a doorway out into the cold, into the wilderness, and you don't know if there's going to be a place. I was talking to a guy in California on social media, and God told me years ago, my people in California have gotten themselves halfway around the world from home. And God told me to tell the people from California to get out of that state. God loves you, and he wants you to come home. He wants you to leave California. And I'm going to say it on the TV here. Please pray about getting out, because if you do, I've told people, more than one person reminded, Deborah Klein Iantorno. I told her 3 years ago, by getting out of California, you're going to save your life. Do you know, fires have gone through her where she lived. And now she's in North Carolina. And she reminded me that I told her 3 years ago to get out of California. Another woman who's in ministry, 5-6 years ago, she moved to Texas. I told her, by doing so, you shall save your life. And now, it's not to say that California is worse than anywhere else. When the Tower of Siloam fell in Jerusalem and 18 men died, Yeshua said, those men were no greater sinners than anyone else. But if you don't, unless you repent, the same thing could happen to you. So yes, California is getting bigger judgment on it than anywhere else in the country. But don't gloat over it, because unless we repent, it could happen to us. So, but God still gave me the word to tell people in California who will listen, Get out. Get out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people. I invited David Brickner, the head of Jews for Jesus. I said, come to Tennessee because things are going to go to hell in a handbasket in California where their headquarters is. I said, move your headquarters to Nashville or Knoxville. Come to Tennessee. Save yourselves. He didn't listen to me. He's up there in San Francisco. I'm telling you, you know, one day these people, all these fires, they've got fires from San Francisco down to Los Angeles, okay? On the main highway. The fires, did you see them right on the, that's the main highway. They talk about the Getty Museum. That is the main freeway in California, the 405. It's the in Los Angeles, it's the main freeway. And there's fires and cars are driving through, flames on both sides. I mean, if you come out, crazy, you know. And if the fires came down from the hills behind LA, it's surrounded by mountains. The fires came down from the hills and then there was an earthquake at the same time, everybody would be stuck. And God, I mean, God help them. They'd have no way to get out. There's traffic in the afternoon. They have like six lanes on their freeway. We have two. On Interstate 81, we have two lanes here. Some parts have three if you go north or south. You know, you get three. Actually, just north of here, you have three lanes. But where we are here, we have two lanes on each side. In California, they have five or six lanes on the freeway. And they get blocked up every day. Just a normal day. They get blocked up for two, 3 hours of traffic during rush hour in the morning and the afternoon, maybe even all day now. I don't know. There's so many people. But you know what? If there was a tragedy, if there was a double tragedy, an earthquake and a fire, or some kind of a missile from North Korea, I'm not trying to scare people. I'm just trying to scare you. Get out while you can, because when the time when it gets when people will say, you know, peace and safety, and then suddenly, as it was in the days of Noah, I preached a couple weeks ago, Anthony said, and they did not understand until the floods came and took them all away. And the floods aren't coming. The rainbow is a sign that God gave us that it will not be floods, it'll be fire. I said that again. Fire is God's judgment of the end days. And if you can't figure out that all these fires in California are a warning to you to get out of California, you need to have your head examined and your spiritual discernment checked. What does it take for when God says he's going to judge the world with fire? He's warning you. People are starting to die. For 10, 15 years of fires, they were far away and no homes were burned, nobody was killed. Now people are dying. They're dying. They're trying to get out. They're burning in their cars. They're incinerated. The heat is so high, people are getting incinerated. Okay, you get my point? So either you serve, you got to go through the gate. When God opens the door to serve, here's how you know. How did I know that I was called to serve? God opened a door for me to go into ministry for $28 a day. I had to give up my house. I had to give up my job. And I had this argument with a man. He argued with me about saying that people should leave California. He said that he tried, but he had no job to go to, he said. He said, and I have no job to go to, and I have no place to stay. Well, when Yeshua sent the disciples out, did he say, well, stay at the Hampton Inn and bring three changes of clothes and a leather suitcase, and I'll have the chauffeur pick you up, and then you'll have dinner at Aqua Fish Restaurant, you know, at 6 p.m. No, he said, take the clothes on your back, sell your coat and buy a sword, and if they welcome you in the city, then bless the city, and if they don't, then shake the dust off your feet and curse the city. But if God's calling you to leave, you got to leave, and you got to trust God to give you a bed at night. You got to trust God to put money in your pocket, food on your table. And that's what I did. God called me 23 years ago to leave my home, leave my job, leave everything, my car, moved to New York. I lived with the Jews for Jesus. I served. I lived. They gave me a place to lay my head. They gave me $28 a day to live in New York City. $28 a day. Even then, 23 years ago, that was not enough money to live in New York City. And I rented out my house because I needed the income. I just did whatever I could with what I had. So everybody say, do what you can with what you have. When God calls you, you do what you do. You know, this guy said to me, I had no place to go, but he knows Deborah Klein, I in Torno, probably has a spare bedroom. And I'm not speaking that she has to let this guy in. I'm just saying, I didn't suggest it on that social media, but I could have said, well, why don't you ask Deborah for a place to stay? You know, his excuse, when somebody gives me an excuse, I don't have a place to go. The door is the opportunity to minister. Those people who left with David had a chance to, they were going to minister to David. Amen? They went to serve David. They were protecting the king. They went to preserve the kingdom of David. That's why they went with him. Do you understand me? They left to give their lives, to sacrifice their lives if necessary, to preserve the throne of David. Oh, are you getting? I hope you're getting this. They left the city. They went through the gates because God called them to preserve the kingdom of David. If God calls you to serve, you need to go through the gate and prepare the way. Now, let's look at the scripture in Isaiah 62, and I'm almost done. My conclusion's coming here in 2 minutes. Isaiah 62, it says, go through, in verse 10, go through the gates, clear the way for the people. Build up the highway. In other words, our job is to clear the way. That means we need to remove the false teaching. We need to remove the false doctrines. We need to remove the false belief systems and win as many people to David's kingdom as possible. And we have to clear the path, build up the highway means we're going to bring them back. We got to help them get back to Israel. All and the nations will stream. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. For the word law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And the nations will stream to the mountain of the Lord. Amen. We've got to build the highway for them to stream there. We've got to help bring them back. We've got to help bring them back to Israel. And there's over 700 scriptures talking about the return of God's people to Israel. I'll get, you know, you want a list, contact my ministry and I'll send you a teaching on that. Just contact me about the return to Israel of the Jewish people and Christians who love Israel. Remove the stones. What does that mean? Obstacles. When the video doesn't work or when the sound doesn't work, that's an obstacle. Amen. When your car gets a flat tire, that's an obstacle. Amen. When you lose your job, that's an obstacle. It may be a blessing. It may be a blessing in disguise. But, you know, the devil throws obstacles in our paths. And like for me, it's cancer. He's thrown a big rock, a big boulder called cancer in my path to slow me down, right? But God's going to obliterate, God's going to take his big laser and obliterate that cancer stone. Amen? Amen? I say to the mountain that stands in my way, be thou removed and cast to the sea. Yes. Amen? Yes. I say to that cancer mountain that stands in my way, you speak to whatever mountain stands in your way. You speak it. Right? You call it out right now. Let's say that. I speak to the cancer that stands in my way. You say whatever stands in your way. I speak to the cancer that stands in my way. Be thou removed and cast to the sea and never come back. Amen? Amen. And you say it, well, whatever stone stands in your way, remove it. Remove the stones. He's saying, you remove them. Speak over them. Lift up a standard over the peoples. That's Yeshua. Lift up the banner of Yeshua. bring the gospel to the peoples. That's what he's saying here. So let me conclude. When God opens a door for you, you must go through the gate. And remember, David, when he went through the gate of the city of Jerusalem, he went into the wilderness. The gate will bring you into the wilderness. If you follow God, don't expect him to say, there's reservations at the Hampton. You're going to be in room. You're going to be on the sixth floor because you're a diamond with Hilton. You're a diamond. And I've got a nice suite for you on the sixth floor. There'll be bottled water and cheese and crackers waiting for you in your room. And I'll meet you there for supper, and we'll have steak in the pub at 7 p.m., okay? That's not how it works. God opens a door. He sends you into the wilderness just like David. And David said to Ittai the Gittite, the guy with the tight guitar, I can't promise you anything, buddy. Go back. Go to your people. He said, no, man, I'm staying with you. Amen? And so, Aja, when you came here, you came by faith. You didn't know. You knew you were getting a house, but you didn't know why God was sending you, but he gave you a house to live in. And, you came by faith, and I know it hasn't been the most pleasant experience for you, but you obeyed God to do it, and obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. So sometimes just doing it. Naaman the leper, when he was had leprosy, he called the king. Somebody said, little servant girl said, there's a prophet in Israel. I hear he can heal people. So the king inquired of the king of Israel, is there a prophet? And they said, yeah, there's this guy Elisha. And so they sent the captain, Naaman, they sent him down to see Elisha. And Elisha said, just go dunk in the Jordan River 7 times and you'll be healed. And the Jordan River is just it's like the creek behind the synagogue in some places. It's really that small in some places. But it's not very big. I'm sure it was bigger than that. Probably more like Beaver Creek downtown. About the size of Beaver Creek. And in a deeper spot. And so the captain of the Syrian army and the captain of the armies of the king of Syria looked at the Jordan River and said, you want me to dunk in that? We have greater rivers than that in Syria where I live. We have rivers 100 times greater. I'm going to dunk in that. And when a servant said to him, master, what harm could it do to just do what the man says? To dunk? He's just asking you to dunk 7 times. It's not like he's asking you to, jump off a cliff and bungee cord, right? He's just asking you to dunk in the river. So the guy, he did it. He dunked 7 times, and God healed the leprosy. God healed the leprosy. Because he was obedient, not because he was such a great guy, not because he was, because he loved God and worshiped God, but God said, I'll heal him. He just has to do what I say. Obedience. One last story. My doctor, a cancer doctor, said, just kind of threw his hand, after 4 years of my relapse of cancer, kind of threw his hands up 2 months ago and said, I don't know what to do with you. I think you need a second opinion. So he sent me to a doctor. He sent me to an Ishmaelite. That's like sending a South Korean to a North Korean doctor. Okay? Sending a Jew to an Ishmaelite is like sending a South Korean to a North Korean doctor. That's how little my doctor knows me. All right? In 4 years, he just doesn't know anything about me. He doesn't know who I am. He doesn't know world politics or anything. Now, I'm not saying the doctor he sent me to is a bad doctor. He actually is a great guy. I went. Now, why did I go? Now, first of all, I didn't go originally because I said, is he a leukemia specialist? And my doctor said, no, there isn't one in Northeast Tennessee, this area. I said, okay, I'm going to one of the top hospitals. I went to the Mayo Clinic. And the Mayo Clinic checked me, examined me, they diagnosed me, and they determined treatment, and they sent treatment plan back to my doctor. But you know what? My doctor still told me to go see this other doctor in Abingdon. And I'm like, why is he sending me? I've already gone to the Mayo Clinic. I've done the best thing I could possibly do. Why is he sending me to this other doctor in Abingdon now? I don't know. Why do I need another doctor? I just need the treatment. But I teach obedience, right? I teach follow the governing authorities. Romans 13, 1 Peter 2, submit to the governing authorities. Don't I? I teach submit to the governing authorities and obey the governing authorities, whoever they are. And medically, it was my doctor. So by faith and obedience, because I teach obedience, I followed my own teaching. And I went to see the doctor. And he was a lovely man. And he didn't know, I don't know if he knew who I was or not, but he didn't seem to care. He offered to treat me. He offered to take me on as a patient. He gave me some information about my condition that I didn't know. And he said a couple things. He said four things. He said, one, who sent you to the Mayo Clinic? I said, I broke myself. He said, good idea. You did a great job. Yeah. Secondly, he said to me, the treatment they prescribed you is a great, great idea. Excellent treatment. I totally agree with it. And number three, he said, if you want to switch doctors and you want me to be your doctor, I'll be glad to do it because I think I'd be happy to take you if you want me. I'm up here in Abingdon, but I'm willing to do it. And I'll stop at those three things. But this is what God showed me after I left. Listen to me. You know what he said? God said to me? He said, Joe, because you are obedient, on the testimony of two or more witnesses, a matter is established. This treatment you're taking is going to work because you obeyed my voice and you went to this second doctor that you didn't want to go to. And he affirmed the doctor at the Mayo Clinic. And on the testimony of two or more, a matter is established. Amen. The scripture says it's established on the testimony of two. I didn't know it going in. I couldn't see by faith. But when I went afterward, God spoke to me and said, it's established. Your treatment, your healing, it's established. Amen. Is that awesome? Amen. So let me finish here. A gate is a door, the kind we are talking. Sometimes gates don't make sense. That gate didn't make sense to me, but I went through it. Now it does. A gate is a door, the kind we are talking about here are God doors, God opportunities. They don't come every day. In fact, the less you go through them, the less likely you are to see them. And God doesn't hold doors of opportunity open to fence sitters. God doesn't hold doors of opportunity open to fence sitters. Okay? He will shut the door. I've seen God close the door on people, and I'm going to show you a verse in Matthew 19 and about the rich young man. He doesn't stand there and hold the door for fence sitters forever. He may for a little bit, but not forever. Matthew 19:16, and someone came to him and said, Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life? And Yeshua said to him, Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good, but if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, Which ones? And Yeshua said, You shall not commit murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love the Lord your neighbor as yourself. You love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, All these things I have kept, what am I still lacking? Yeshua said to him, If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. The demoniac, when Yeshua crossed the lake and cast out the demons from the demoniac at the Gerasenes, he said, Let me go with you. After he was clean, he said, Yeshua, let me go with you. Yeshua said, Go back to your village. Yeshua didn't let everybody follow him personally, go with him. But this guy, Yeshua wanted him to be a disciple. Gave him an invitation. Be one of my disciples. Travel with me. What a door. Can you imagine? And this is what the guy said. But when the young man heard the statement, He went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And Yeshua said to his disciples, truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. An eye of a needle is like a doggy door for camels, for big farm animals. It's such a small door. It's even smaller than a doggy door or a kitty door. It's a door that a farm animal can't get through. It's actually for people. So like to get into the Temple Mount, it's a door for people to go through that's too small for animals to get through. That's the way they keep farm animals out and beasts of burden out of the temple area. That's the eye of the needle. Okay? So he says it's easier for a rich man for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, then who can be saved? And looking at them, Yeshua said to them, with people, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And then Peter said to him, behold, we have left everything. Oh my God, listen to this, people. If you don't, you got to get this in your spirit. We have left everything and followed you. What then will there be for us? And Yeshua said to them, truly I say to you, you have followed me in the regeneration. When the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last and the last first. I'm going to read that again. And everyone, how many people? Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or mothers or children or farms, and even says wives in Mark 10:29, for my sake will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. These guys left their wives, their houses, their kids, everything to follow God. Let's finish. So, time is growing short, friends. You got to have crazy faith. And we have a work to do. God is opening and closing doors for many of us here in this congregation. Not and many people in the world. He's not opening doors of blessing and pouring out blessings so that we can take a Caribbean vacation. He's doing it so that we can have the time and the resources to finish our assignment, our calling, and to restore David's throne. Okay? Those people who are being blessed financially and being given resources because so they can leave their worldly jobs and serve God. Amen. And do it full time, because there's work to do, and the day is getting dark. The day is getting darker. In fact, today's daylight savings time. Turn your clock back an hour. It's going to be darker tomorrow. Less sunlight in the afternoon tomorrow. The days are growing shorter. Okay, fitting day to say this. If he's giving you resources, it's to free you up to fulfill your calling. Those of you who are called to this ministry and its vision, I believe God will make a way for you to draw closer, but you must go through the gates. For some, God will close doors of your past life as you cross through, like David crossed through the river, the Kidron Valley and the Kidron Creek, and he left the city. As you go through and you cross over, remember, going through the gate for the Lord is an opportunity, not a promise or a job of a job or wealth. It may be a trip into the wilderness with David. Okay? It's not a promise of a job or wealth. However, it affords you, but if you go, if you have an opportunity to serve God. If God's calling you to serve, then you go. Amen? And you just got to trust. You have to have crazy faith. You have to trust and not see. And for me, I had to lower my standard of living when I did it. But now God's restored my standard of living. You understand? He's restored. Now, I'll just leave that alone, okay? He's blessed me. So remember, going through the gate for the Lord is an opportunity, not a promise of a job or of wealth. It affords you a chance to serve at a much greater level. But some may have to give up your comfort to do it. Others may not. Either way, God will provide what you need to survive and an opportunity to serve. God knows who he's dealing with. And he will, you know, people who comfort doesn't matter to, he may not take away their comfort. People who it does matter to, God will deal with you according to what your issues are. The rich young man had to do with his wealth. And so God wanted to take away his wealth. Other people, God gives wealth so that they can serve his kingdom. It just depends on you. Either way, God will provide what you need to survive and an opportunity to serve. That's the primary gate to go through. Do not worry about the basic necessities. Matthew 6:25, what you will eat or drink, what you will wear, God will provide. We walk by faith, not by sight. As I have said, time is short here in the USA, perhaps 5 years. I'd say we have 5 years or less. One more term of President Trump, and then I think we're either headed for civil war in this country or communism. And we've got to get back. We've got to hit that, build that highway to the wilderness, to Israel. We've got to get out in the Judean wilderness with David and his people. Amen? Because the king, we've got to restore the kingdom to David. Okay? So there's much work to be done, and God is moving quickly. Time is short. Those who know our ministry know our vision, my vision. Some don't, but I tell you, Be a Hushai. He was the one advisor that stayed with David. Be a Barzillai, who provided provisions for David. Not an Absalom who took over the kingdom, or an Ahithophel or a Shimei who cursed David and threw stones at him. David was weak. Listen, David was weak. David was weak, and so was Yeshua. He was weak. At the cross, he had to have somebody carry his cross beam. He was very weak. I'm going through similar, you know, my own kind of time of weakness, and don't let that sucker you. David was weak, and people took that as a sign to abandon him. Don't be fooled by that. That's one of God's tricks to test your heart. Amen. David was weak, and so was Yeshua, and he went to the cross, but God used the weakness to test men's hearts. Do not be tricked or deceived either. You serve David's kingdom still, or you serve something else. Either you serve David's kingdom and David's throne, to even to this day, or you serve something else. Please rise. I want to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah and Prince of Peace. Shabbat Shalom. Before you shut that off, honey, I just want to tell people watching on Facebook, I have an offer this month called The Bridegroom and the Second Coming. If you'd like to get a copy of it, The Bridegroom and the Second Coming, for your love gift to this ministry, www.forzionsake.org, forzionsake.org, no apostrophe S, Z-I-O-N, forzionsake.org. Go to our website. You can order this for your suggested love gift of $35 or more. I'll send you this teaching. It's 3 CDs called The Bridegroom and the Second Coming. It's an awesome prophetic teaching on the bride and on the second coming. If you'd like to get it for your suggested love gift of $35 or more, we really need your help this month. Just go to our website. You can give securely on PayPal, and just let me know you want this teaching, and we'll mail it to you. Okay? Love you all. Shabbat shalom.